got a special treat for you tonight. I've got a friend that I see like twice a year, maybe three times a year. But have you ever met people that when you see them, it's like you've never been away from them? They just like they've always been there. It's part of your tribe. Now, Pastor Dino Rizzio and his wife planted a church in 1992 called The Healing Place in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Pastor Dino pastored that for 20 years and out of that church and the beautiful favor that God showed in that church, he wrote a book. He authored a book called Servolution. And that book, that's how I got to hear about Dino, is through this book. A phenomenal book. If you've not read it, pick it up. It will transform your life. But of late, Pastor Dino has become the executive director of ARC. ARC is the Association of Related Churches. ARC is one of the most potent church planting agencies, if I can call them an agency, a helper, strong arm. They've planted over 400 churches, and I cannot tell you how much hope there is when churches are planted all over the U.S. Every single time a church go up, I go, something is going right with our world, because Jesus uses church families like ours to bring life into communities just like us. So tonight I'm going to ask that you stand with me and welcome Pastor Dino as he's coming to share the word of God tonight.
All right. Hey, thank you, Pastor. That's awesome. Come on, let's clap our hands for Jesus. Isn't it a great night to be alive? Awesome, awesome. You can be seated. I want to welcome all those who have joined us online at one of our other campuses. It is a great day to be alive here at the Father's house. And what an honor. How do you not love this church and being a part of this church and all that this church represents? And it is an honor for me to be here this weekend. Couldn't wait to be here. Just love the heart, love the vision of this house. You keep it clear, you keep it simple, you keep it accurate. It is all about Jesus. It is about reaching all kinds of different people and helping families and continue to make a huge difference in this region through campuses and all the different things that you do, the creativity of your church, and you're having a lot of fun around it. Just the worship and all the expressions of things that happen across campus life is just awesome. I love that fa-la-la-la-la. That was good. I've been trying to sing it all day long in the airport because it took me about 12 hours to get here from the deep, dirty South. I am from the dirty South, if you know what I'm talking about. And it just love what is happening throughout the next couple of weeks and looking at the participation and the great potential in reaching people. Christmas is just a time where I just have always believed this, that the window of people's hearts are open and the door of their life is open. And so often that is a time where they can be helped and they can be served and they can have an invitation to Christ. And so again, love this church. You're a model church with what we do in planting churches. Just last year alone, we planted 72 churches. Pastor Pierre, about February of 2016, we will be at about 550 churches that we planted in the last 13 years. And that is a good place to clap. And so we're having a lot of fun planting churches. So often couples like that are looking for model churches and are looking for churches that are fluid and flexible, learning how to reach people. And so we tell them a lot about Father's house. And so love it, love it. And thanks a lot for being here. And you are over the top as it relates to serving. You couldn't pull off what you're getting ready to pull off without people that love God and are serving. So you're known for that. You're known for your generosity. So love your pastors. They are the real deal. And leaders and models in ministry making a huge impact. When you think about Pastors Pierre and Marlise, you think about prayer and people. They just know how to touch God, know how to reach people. And I just thank God for them. They've been a good friend of ours. They are first-class people. Why don't you clap your hands for your pastors? Don't you love them? They're awesome. I like being around Pastor Pierre. It just makes me feel positive. Makes me feel like I can go bear hunting with a switch. Come on, somebody. That's what we see down in the South. And so I just love it, love it. He makes me feel full of faith. And I want to be around people. They love you, they love God, and they love each other. How many knows that's all you want out of a pastor? And that's exactly what you have in them. And I know you feel that way about your pastor. So awesome, awesome. Bring you great love from the Rizzo family. Our family's doing well. We're in Birmingham. We in down in Louisiana for so many years, pastoring there, and then we relocated to Alabama, and we're in Birmingham working at a great church, Church of the Highlands, like you, multi-campus, reaching people, and then get to serve there with helping church planters. Our family's doing well. Our family's growing and growing. I got a picture. This is our Christmas picture that we took this year. If we can pull that up. A Christmas picture, we're looking for it. Where are the Rizzos? The Rizzos, the Rizzos. I promise you we took a Christmas picture. There it is right there. And you know, I love it when the kids get older, because when you take a Christmas picture, everybody stays saved. Because when they're young, let me tell you something, I have to pray and almost lose my faith when I took pictures of my kids when they were young. But now that they're older, it's a whole lot easier. So that is my daughter on it'll be your left. She's our oldest. She goes to LSU, and so she's a senior. She's graduating this year, and just this week, I paid her last college payment. Come on, somebody. I'm fired up. And so, and then that is my son. He plays football down in Florida, and then he's a freshman in college. That's our baby right there. She's 15 years old, and I call her our Jesus child. She's like the spiritual one of the family. And then that is my amazing wife. We'll be married 27 years this Wednesday. She's a Cajun, so she's Cajun. I'm Italian. We're from the South. We make ourselves feel at home, if you know what I'm talking about. So I may show up at your house after church and get in your refrigerator, sit on your couch, use your toilet. I ain't scared. And so I'm Italian. I make myself at home everywhere I go. And so that's the Rizzos. We're doing well. Again, it's an honor to come and share at this amazing church that is literally known all over the world for just the word and the messages that you hear. Your pastor's an incredible Bible teacher. But I want to come alongside, and I really believe that we are in a season where people's hearts are open. And the things that you're presenting to this community and to this region, I believe it's a time where people can really find Christ. I believe as you share your life and as you decide to serve and open up opportunities for others, I just believe that God's going to do something great. And I've been praying for you all week about that. But I want to talk for a few minutes around the idea, and it's right out of the scripture, on the idea of willingness to share. Willing to share. Are you willing to share? It's a portion of scripture that we find around the idea of willing to share. Let's talk about that. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for this amazing church. So Lord, as we've worshiped and as we've prayed, as we've seen your hand touch lives and lifted up people, Lord, we just pray that you'd speak to us. Lord, we're not there yet. We're wanting to learn. We're wanting to grow. We're wanting to be everything that you want us to be. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to take another step. No matter, Father, where we find ourselves at, Lord, if we're still trying to understand faith, that we're still maybe full of doubt and questions, Lord, help us to see some scripture and hear some thoughts that will open up our heart to give our life away for a greater cause. We love you. We love you in Jesus' name. And everybody said a good amen. Won't you turn to the person next to you and say, I'm glad you made it tonight. Come on, look at the other person that was your second choice and tell them, you look like you could use a little church, my friend. There's always one in the bunch. One of my favorite books of the Bible is 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. I got to spend some time in Italy a couple years ago. I went there 3 or 4 times and was teaching a pastor's gathering, and went to Paul's prison where he penned the letters to Timothy. And it holds a special place because I spent several days going back and forth reading scripture in this environment, and spent some time there, just hours, several hours, just thinking about what have went on. So I hold a special place when I read the book of Timothy, and I've been stuck there lately. And I love this thought in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 to 19, as he's wrapping up this letter, because it gives us this idea. And I believe it is a fresh thought, especially in these moments that we're living in, and also for you as a church, with this amazing opportunity to be connected and to help others get connected. And that as we help people feel a sense of belonging on this campus, how it could trigger their belief. And I love this portion. Verse 17, Paul tells Timothy, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. He goes right after it. But to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. I like that. I love this verse. Command them to do good and to be rich in good deeds and to be generous, and here's this thought, and willing to share. Willing to share. Follows up, in this way they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life, which is truly life. Paul tells Timothy, command those around you, those that you are leading, those that you're influencing, command them to be rich in good deeds. Challenge them to live a life where they're willing to share. I love that, rich in good deeds and willing to share. He gives us the question, and every time I read it, I think, okay, am I rich in good deeds? Am I wealthy in willing to share? Am I blessed in caring for my neighbor? Am I wealthy as it relates to helping others? Or am I busted? Am I dead broke in the way that I live, in the way that I use my time, in the way that I use my resources? What would be my net worth as it relates to be willing to share? That's what Paul is saying to Timothy. I just think it's amazing. It goes right in line with another text that is a scripture that we have on our refrigerator, in our life. It's something that we've tried to teach our children. It's in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 through 25. And it's one of our family's favorite verses. Every time I read this verse, it kind of helps me refresh what life is about. And I know Pastor Pierre has taught you this, and this is a great verse. I think it's a bookend to 1 Timothy. It's in Proverbs. It says this, give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. How many of us, the Bible gets to the point there? It's not beating around the bush. Be stingy and lose everything. Verse 25, the generous. I love that. I love that it's like a title, the generous. What is your name? Well, I'm the generous. Wouldn't it be great to be known as the generous? Wouldn't it be awesome to be known as, yeah, that's the couple, they're the generous couple. I believe this church is known as the generous church. We want to be known as that. So it says, the generous will prosper. And here's what you've heard probably many times from your pastor. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Can I have a good amen? It's a great scripture. You know, I see this in the gospel over and over again. I believe it's a truth of the gospel that we must embrace. My first pastor helped me get this early on. I was not raised in church, being Italian. We worked on weekends. We had a business that we worked on the weekends. I lived in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, growing up down there on the beach. And then I moved later to Louisiana, but we didn't go to church. My dad was a good Catholic Italian. My mother was a good redneck Baptist. And we'd go to church at Christmas and go to church at Easter. And we'd switch it up. And when somebody would ask me, what are you? I would say, I'm a Kebaptist. I do both. We were Catholic and Baptist. I didn't know what we were. And because we worked so hard, we were a hardworking family, we just didn't attend church. I didn't really know much about the Lord. And so when I was 18 years old, I found Christ, and he found me, and I began to understand some things, and someone wonderfully went outside the walls of the church and went outside, and outside, someone shared faith with me in an outside environment, kind of what you're doing here, going outside and reaching people. And I got reached that way, and I got involved with a little small church. It was an African-American church, and I got involved with it, and my pastor was a great man. He was a confronter. I don't know if you've been around somebody who's a confronter and they don't have an inside voice, if you know what I'm talking about. He only had an outside voice. He'd be like, hey, what's up? And there were like three people standing there. He'd confront you. And I was young, 19, 20 years old, working a great job, had cash money, having a blast, and coming to church, and, you know, had bikes and surfboards and had a great car, new shoes all the time. And one day he stopped me, and he caught me right in the aisle of the church. There was about 50 people in the church. That was all we had. And he said, hey, Dino. I was like, yeah, hey, Pastor. Can you kind of tone it down a touch, or do you have a volume? And so he said, are you a giver? I was like, I think I am. He said, have you learned how to tithe? Have you learned how to give offerings? You got all this stuff? You got that nice car? Are you a giver? He looked at me and said, I think you're robbing God. Like loud. How many knows that's like a counseling session? Let's shut the door. Come on. Don't go John the Baptist on me right here in front of everybody. He went hardcore John the Baptist on me, 19 years old. And he began to teach me that day and began to model that to me about the idea of refreshing others. He began to talk to me about being others-oriented, that the gospel is others-oriented. One day he challenged me. He said, tonight we're going to have a missionary that's going to be here from China. She's going to be able to give you an opportunity to give. You come ready to give, son. And I remember that day I'd gotten paid, and my dad had paid me in cash. Come on, Italians, we working with cash money. Had that cash money and went to church, had $400 cash money in my pocket. I was about 20 years old, and I was trying to understand Christ and trying to turn my life around and live for God the best I could. And as she began to talk about how that there are all places all over China that don't have scripture, and how for $10 she could bring a Bible to China, and there were villages that only had one page of scripture. One portion of scripture, and that they would check it out. And some families would only get to read the Bible 1 week out of the year. Wow. My heart just began to melt, and I started thinking, I've got Bibles everywhere. I've got all kinds of Bibles. And she got up and said, for $10, I'll bring a scripture to a village. And as the pastor got up, he said, I want you to pray. And I thought, I'm ready to give. I'm going to buy a Bible. I'm going big. I'll buy a Bible. And as he began to pray, something in my heart happens. This refreshing idea, this other's idea, this willing to share, but began to open up into my heart. And I heard in my heart's ear, I heard in my spirit, I heard in my soul, I heard, give it all. Give it all. Give it all. As a container began to come down the aisle, I heard this over and over again, give it all. Well, I tell you, I thought the devil was in the church. So where is the devil? The devil is up on the stage. Where's the devil? And as that container came towards me, I remember reaching in my pocket, and the struggle, the intensity of my heart of being able to let that go. Just, oh gosh, just releasing it. Can I tell you something? It wasn't about the money. It wasn't about the amount. It wasn't about that. It was about my heart. It was my heart. It was my willingness to share in that moment, at that moment. And I remember releasing it and the container going by me. And it was like this little dollar bill's got him on the side of that container and said, we going to China. I'll see you later. God was doing something. God was getting my attention. I look back over my life now. The passion. Am I living a life that's willing to share? Am I living a life that wants to be rich in good deeds? I love the freedom that you discover when you get a hold of that there's a bigger why and there's a bigger what for in life. There's a freedom there. I love what Ephesians says. It's a scripture I want to read to you. It's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. It says, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourself, it is a gift of God. Not by works, so no one can boast. I love verse 10. I think this is a theme scripture. For we are God's workmanship. Everybody say workmanship. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. To do good works. Which, not just good works, not just any old good works, but look, it follows up with this. This is an amazing thought. Which, look what the Bible says, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We've been created for good works, and they're not just random good works. They're good works that God Almighty created in us. He formed in us. He fashioned in us to do. It tells me that I've been made for some type of a mission. I've been born to be a blessing to other people. I've been born for something greater than me, myself, and I, that God Almighty, in His mercy, He's given me a to-do. Can I tell you something? There's a divine to-do in every one of us. Every one of us had it. Everyone that's watching on a campus, everyone that's there online, there's a divine to-do in us. There's something about the way that we're shaped and the way that we're wired. The other day, someone had a sickness in one of our small groups, and my wife found out about it, and she said, hey, let's make a meal, and let's bring it over to Tooth. I said, I got this, baby. I'll get done with work. I'll run by Popeye's Chicken. I'll get a little box of chicken and some biscuits. I'll even get them some honey. I'll put it on their front porch. And God bless y'all. Here's a meal. She said, we're not doing that. I'm going to prepare a meal. I mean, it was like, I said, well, let's get it together tomorrow. I'll go buy some pizza or something. We'll do frozen pizza. That's prepared. We'll do something. She said, oh, no, we'll do it next week. She ordered she got on Pinterest and started looking at cupcakes with flamingos. And she ordered a monogram napkins and a special burlap sack bag that said something like blessed. And she made like a lamb shank and asparagus and potatoes with rosemary. I didn't even know there was such thing as rosemary. We brought candy and a gift for all the children. And the next day we bought them peanut butter and jelly sandwiches shaped in a heart. Gave them a gift certificate to Carrabba's. How many can say that's overkill? Wasn't overkill. It was her divine to do. She was made to do that. She was made for that moment. Can I tell you something? Some of you are made to serve and follow la la. Some of you are made, you are born. You couldn't wait till the Christmas Village got here. Because that's your world. That's all in your divine to do. There's something about you. There's something. God's called us to do a to-do. There's something. He's put that in us. And when that's at work, boy, there is a power in our life. There's a power in the church. When thousands of people decide, we're going to do a to-do. We're going to be rich in good deeds. We're going to be willing to share. We're going to get beyond me, myself, and I, and we're going to be willing to share. There's a divine to-do in you. I always want to be a police officer. I mean, I love police officers. I'm not a police officer, but I act like a police officer. And so I love being around police officers. When I see them, I'm always like, what's up? Kind of me and you, man. And I tell Delena, sometimes I try to, like at church, we have police officers there serving. I always stand by, like, hey, y'all doing? What's going on? What are we looking at? Who are we watching? You need me to walk the parking lot? I got this. Hey, y'all doing? Good to see y'all. And the other day I was driving, and so I always act like a police officer. And so we were driving down a little road there. It's real busy, and right in front of me, because I feel like it's a little part of me. I feel like I'm supposed to help people in that capacity, even though I don't have a license to, but I kind of feel it. It's a spiritual thing. And so the car in front of me gets in, there's a little fender bender, and I see the airbag's been deployed, and people are honking horns. So I drive a truck, threw it in park. I looked at my wife, she's with me. I said, hey, get in the driver's seat, I need to respond. She's like, you're not a police officer, but I think I am. Put in park, she jumps in the truck. I run outside. I mean, it's a big street. It's like, come on, let's go. Let's move it along here. I'm just moving people along. Hey, hold up, buddy. Let's go over here. I'm directing traffic as I'm assessing the accident. Come on, Pastor. I got to assess things. I go up to one car. We're good. Are you okay? Okay, great. Okay. They're coming. My brothers are coming. Just hold on. Go to the next car. That's where the airbag's been deployed. Lady's a little shaken up, senior citizen, a little shaken up. Oh, she's, oh, God, oh my gosh. I'm okay. We're okay. We're good here. Let me. I'm checking things. She looks. She says, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm a traffic chaplain." She kind of came out. I'm not a traffic chaplain, but at that moment, I was a traffic chaplain. I was all up in my to-do, and she just said, "Oh, gosh." Thank the Lord. I said, amen. He's got you. The Lord is here. She says, can you call my husband? Give me the phone. Hey, sir, how you doing? This is Dino Rizzo, Birmingham Traffic Chaplain Division, Subdivision Fraternity. We're here on 280. We're good. Come on down here. She's okay. We've got it. Then all of a sudden, the police pull up. They're driving like these cool SUVs down. They pull up. They get out like, yeah, how y'all doing? I was like, hey, brothers. Let me assess it, and I kind of walk off because I'm thinking, I'm going to get arrested here in a second. Love y'all. God bless. I'll see y'all at the next meeting. God's put something in us to respond. He has called us to share. He's called us to live a life to get involved. Get involved. He's given us something, a life willing to share. Because there is no rewards like the rewards when you share your life, you give your life away for the cause of Jesus Christ. There's nothing like it. The outcomes are amazing when we make those decisions. I want to finish up, and I want to talk to you real quick. I want to give you three applications. I want to finish up and give you what I believe is the three best outcomes when you and I share our life. You may want to jot these down. I just think these are good outcomes. Here's the first one. When I share my life, when I give my life away, I am a pointer. I am a pointer. See, here's what I love about church and what amazing worship you have here. My goodness. I could have all day long just stayed with it. Just felt it. Down the south, just start humming, hollering at each other. It's so good. Good Lord. Good la 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 la. I mean, I was just all up in it. And I love the worship idea of work. We lift up holy hands. If you feel comfortable with that, or if you've ever seen that, we lift up our hand. We open up our hands to God. And I believe God wants us to take that open hand of worship and turning it into a serving hand for others. We take our hand of worship and we serve others, because as we worship and as we serve, hopefully with the lips of our worship and the life of our serving, our life will then be a pointer. We will point to Christ. As we worship God in our life and our lips, as we worship God in serving our family, as we worship God in our small groups, as we worship God in prayer and learning the word, as we give our life away in serving and helping park cars and being connected with kids and being here in another area or serving or building. I saw the village. All these different ways. Why? Because ultimately, at the core of everything is that all of it will point people to God Almighty, who loves them dearly. That's why we do everything we do. That's why we bring our tithe. That's why we bring our offerings. That's why we sow. That's why at the end of the year we say, well, gosh, I've been so blessed. I want to give even more. And we get online and we give, or we notice someone who has a need. Why? Because we want it all. We want our resources. We want our work to do what? To point people to the one that has forgiven us. The one that gave our marriage a chance. The one that helped our son. We want to be pointers. All that we would be rich in pointing people to Christ, especially over Christmas season. Here's the second thing that I just believe is a great outcome. When we share our life, so many opportunities to do that, is when I share my life, I am a sample. I believe you and I are a sample of God's love. We have a store that we just discovered. It just opened in Birmingham. It's called Costco. Do y'all have that here in the Great White North? I just discovered that store, Pastor Pierre, and I'm in love with it. It's awesome. I went there the other day, my wife, and we were kind of meandering around. And normally when I shop, I meander around. She's real focused, and I'm ADD. And I met these people that they call sample engineers. They're awesome. They're at the end of every aisle, and normally they're somewhat of a lady that's my age. I'm 51 or older, and they're sample engineers. And I don't know if they've gone to school in sampleology. I don't know what their skill set is, but they're awesome. So I'm walking around Costco, and there's a lady, and she says, "Good, it's in the morning. We got their first one. Oh, good morning, sir. Good morning." And the cool thing about it is they're conversationalists. They have a conversation with, "Good morning. How are you?" "I'm doing awesome. Thank you." She says, "Can I present to you what we have here?" "Sure, you can. That sounds great." I hadn't had breakfast in about 45 minutes. That's fantastic. She says, "We have a tortilla chip from the nation of Belize. Was brought down on the hills from a mule of a velvet coat. And it was brought here on the barges of Simile. And we've combined it with some guacamole from onions from Napoli and spices from Albania. And we've combined them all here in Costco, and we've now presented it to you on this Vanity Fair napkin." "Wow. Thank you very much." And I ate, and it was better. It's the best thing I ever had in my life. And I was like, "Thank you." She says, "Hola. Gracias, amigo." I mean, we're speaking Spanish, and I don't even know Spanish. It's awesome. I mean, I'm all up in it. And then she says, would you like to bring this experience home with you?" "Yes, I would." And then she goes from a sample engineer to a conversation. Now she's concierge. She brings me around and shows me where the chips are and where the guacamole is and the onions and the Albanians who are serving me spices. It's awesome. They're all right there. And I'm like, "Dylan, I got a whole cart full of stuff. I go visit everybody down the whole aisle. I'm sampling. We don't need to go to lunch. Come here." It's awesome. And here's the thing. It was a sample, but it was an experience. And it wasn't the whole thing, but it was a sample that made me want more. Come on. You and I, when we serve, when we give, when we participate, when we connect, when we share our life, when we're rich and good, there's samples where we can say to people, hey, taste and see that the Lord is good. That we would be a sample for God Almighty. Because people need love. People need care. They need to understand that they're not alone. Not in this crazy world. And our acts of good deeds, our serving, our participating, our signing up to serve somewhere across church life, especially at Christmas, you and I get to be a sample. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Well, pointers were sample, and then the last thing, and I'll finish up, is one of the greatest outcomes when you and I give our life away is you and I become invitations. We our life and our serving literally become invitations. And I believe they become invitations to God and the church. When we give our life away. When we decide, I'm going to withhold nothing. I'm going to be an invitation. The other day, I got up Saturday morning and I went to prayer. We have prayer at our church like you, our house of prayer. And we're learning from you guys about that. And you just go to prayer, you feel better. You feel full. Yeah. So often there's days I don't feel full, I feel empty. And I felt full and I got home and my wife announced to me that we're going shopping. And my son was gone, so it was me and my wife and my two daughters, so it was 3-1. And I was outnumbered and she takes me to this store that it is hell for a man. It's called Forever 21. Yeah, it's the devil, it's the devil. He lives there, it's the foyer of Hades. And I'm in this store and there is a zillion items of clothing for like $4. And they're everywhere and you can't walk. Big man needs some space. Big man needs a little space. And all the aisles are bunched together and people are everywhere. They've got clothes and there's so many random smells in there. There's nail polish and there's perfume and there's scrunchies and there's fabric and there's neons. And there's a lot going on. And I was there and they had got like 800 things of clothes. I tried it on. I was hot. I was real hot. Nothing worse than a man being hot shopping. Just real hot. And they walk up and said, hey, you check out. We're going to the next store, Lululemon. I'm going to hurt you in a second, baby. This ain't right. So I get in line, and there's a zillion people in line. And it's random line. There's no order. There's no structure. It's just there's a lot of people in line, and there's a few people checking out, and I'm there, and everybody's kind of pushing and shoving. I've got clothes, you know, and I'm about to go up, and everybody kind of just gets across the line, and there's no more order, and finally I know who I'm going to, and I got a guy behind me, he's a little small guy, and he's kind of leaning on me, kind of nudging me, trying to get by me, and I'm just kind of blocking. I'm like, yeah. So I'm next in line, and I go up, and I put my stuff down. It's like 400 items for like $14. I mean, it's just cheap clothing that could start a fire with it. And anyway, and so I'm there, and he does not stay by the line. Come on, he doesn't stay by the line. So he goes up with me. And I'm like, no, this is, you're supposed to, and he's all up on me. And so I put my stuff down, and I look across at this precious daughter of someone, this precious 20-something-year-old, and she says, what have you been doing? I said, I'm just here with my wife and my daughter. I said, be honest with you, I came from a prayer meeting. I needed it. I was up at church at home, I was praying. She says, I said, well, how are you? Pastor Pierre, she looked right at me, and she doesn't know me. And she says, I've had the worst week of my life. I said, I'm so sorry. I did not give her a one-liner. I didn't feel like that it was my place to ask her. She began to check out, and I said, I'm so sorry. This guy's leaning all up on me, and she's trying to go through and take the security things off. And I said, what? She checks me out. I don't know what to say. I'm just trying to discern. I'm just trying to, what is the right move? What is the right move here? And she got done, and she said, she handed it to me and looked at me, and I said, I'm gonna go stand out at the end of this counter. And when you look down there, I'm gonna stay there, and I'm gonna pray for you. What is your first name? She told me her first name. I said, I'm gonna go stand right there, and I'm a big guy. You can't miss me. And when you look down there for about the next 60 seconds, I'm gonna pray for you, because God loves you and He cares about you. And when I say that, the guy behind me, he's kind of waiting, and he knows we're stalling, and he says, he's praying for. And I got to, I said, yo, my man, I will pray all over this store. You don't even know who I am. I will turn this place up. And I told him, I said, you got, get back up off me. I need some space. Back up off me. You don't even know my name. I'll go crazy all over this place. You don't even, my name is Medea. Come on, somebody. I'll go Medea all over this place. You don't even know me. And I moved down there. Pastor, I said my prayer because she matters to God. And I don't know if she's felt rejection. I don't know if there's addiction. I have no idea. I don't know if she feels far from God. I don't know if there's been a broken relationship. I don't know if there's a family dynamic. I don't know the deepness of her wound. But I do know God Almighty loves that precious little girl. And maybe in that moment, I could point her. Maybe I can be a sample of hope. Maybe I could be an invitation to God and to church. Let you and I make a decision with our life, with our time and our treasure and our resources to point people to Christ, to be a sample of God's love, and let's live as an invitation. Because what an opportunity you have here at Father's house with what's getting ready to happen at Christmas. You're going to run into a lot of people who've had the worst week of their life. Oh, God, that I'll be the invitation. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for this amazing church. Lord, I pray that you will speak to people's hearts to discover the amazing journey of withholding nothing. A life of giving ourselves away, serving, sharing, rich in good deeds. God, you have placed a holy to-do on this house. Lord, let us serve that like never before. Maybe you're here today and like that precious girl behind that counter, you feel far from God. Maybe all across this room, maybe you're watching at a campus, maybe you're watching online and you feel far from God. You don't have to be. Jesus loves you and He cares about you. I'm gonna lead you in prayer. I'm not gonna ask you to stand or come forward, anything like that, but I wanna give you an opportunity to pray. I know your campus pastors are there. They'll give you an opportunity. Let me lead you in prayer today. Let's all pray this. Just kind of a little believer's prayer. We do this in our house, and hopefully this is okay to do here. Let's all pray this prayer out loud. Just committing our life to Christ. Say, dear Jesus, I give you my life. Thank you that you died for me, that you rose again. And today, I confess you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for your love. Thank you for a fresh start. Help me give my life away. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, let's clap our hands for all those who prayed today.